Lake Effect continues now on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Bonnie North. As the stock markets opened today, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was running just over 19,885. If things go especially well today, it could very well finish over the 20,000 mark for the first time in history. Well, that's a big deal, right?
Not so fast, says Alan Sloan. He is an award-winning financial columnist for The Washington Post and a regular contributor to the Marketplace Morning Report. He joins us on the line this morning to explain why the news that will likely dominate headlines from New York to Milwaukee to Tokyo might not have the importance you think it does. Alan Sloan, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Mitch.
So let's start with a pretty basic question, if we can. The numbers represented by the Dow, or as it's really known, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, what do those numbers represent, and how are they calculated?
Well, you add up the prices of the stocks of the 30 companies in there, and you divide by something called the Dow Divisor, which has, I think, 14 or 16 digits, and that's what gives you the number. And to reduce this to a language approaching English, each dollar change in any one of the Dow stocks is roughly 8.4 points on the Dow.
Well, and so I know you've written that the S&P index is a better barometer to watch. Why is that? What does the S&P measure in comparison to what the Dow represents?
The S&P measures stock values, the total value of the companies in the index. The Dow, which started in 1896 when none of the things you need to do an index existed, all it does is it takes the stock prices. So if a company splits its stock and suddenly the stock is down, is half of what it was the day before, or if one company gets thrown off the Dow and another one comes in, you've got to go and modify everything to make sure you don't skew the Dow.
So is it fair to say, I mean, are you saying the Dow is an outdated measuring stick?
Well, of course it is. And if you get the people involved with it a little drunk and you'll take them off somewhere, they'll tell you it's true. But it's been around for 120 years. People grow up hearing about the Dow. I suspect if anyone ever asks you, Mitch, what's going on in the stock market today, you'll tell them what the Dow is doing. The Dow has enormous mind share because it's been around forever. People have grown up with it. It's reported on all of the news shows. And the S&P, which is sort of boring, and the number is somewhere in the 2200s, it's 100 times more important than the Dow. But outside of the financial world, nobody pays any attention to it.
And so you would argue that the historical perspective in this is that the Dow gets the attention it gets more or less based on tradition.
Sure. And there's something to be said for tradition. But that's the reason. If you started the Dow today and it hadn't existed and you set it up this way, it no one would ever hear of it again.
Well, so as we have this conversation, the Dow is within spitting distance of 20,000. You write that we really shouldn't get nearly as excited over this as journalists are likely to get. Do you think there is any significance to the 20,000? Is it a ceremonial rolling over at the odometer, if you will?
Yeah, it's ceremonial. It's fun. There'll be pictures of people on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, or what remains of the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, celebrating, but it doesn't mean anything. And one of the funniest things ever is on January 6th, in the early afternoon, the Dow was within 37 hundredths of a point of hitting 20,000. And if any one of the stocks in it had moved by 5 or 6 cents, we wouldn't be having this conversation now because it would all be in the rearview mirror.
Well, and in fact, you make the point that the 20,000 landmark could have happened far sooner if the Dow hadn't kicked out one significant company in favor of another.
Right. That was they kicked out AT&T and they brought in Apple. And it was almost as if being added to the Dow blighted Apple because its stock price started to fall. AT&T's price started to rise. And every once in a while, I would do these calculations of what the Dow would be if Apple was still out and AT&T was still in. And it would have long since crossed 20,000.
At the end of the day, how important to the bigger economic picture are the fortunes of the Dow and the S&P?
The companies that make up the Dow and the S&P are important. they're the biggest companies in the United States. They have a huge influence on what goes on here. The Dow, the average of the Dow means really nothing. The average of the S&P, well, I don't know about you, but I've got a lot of money indexed to the S&P. There is something like $2 trillion or $2.3 trillion indexed to the S&P. So if the S&P does well, the wealth of a whole lot of retail investors, including me, goes up. So whether that's important or not, that's for you to decide. I find it important. I find the Dow amusing.
Well, and so people, it sounds like, you know, people who have money invested in this way really, maybe they don't do themselves a disservice, but they don't do themselves any major service by following the Dow as closely as they do.
But it's not like they put any work in it, Mitch. you know, it's not like they're doing what I do, sitting around and calculating sort of what the Dow would be if this company were in and that company were out, and tracking performance. They just listen to it. It's background noise, and it's fun. And when it hits a milestone, people get happy, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, and one of the things that I had not realized is that the parent company of the Dow and the parent company of the S&P index are actually the same parent company.
Right. That happened in 2012, and the situation now is that the company, which is, in case you care, is called S&P Dow Jones Indices, because they're doing the proper plural of index. S&P Dow Jones Indices is owned mostly by the parent company of Standard & Poor's and partly by the parent company of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, and the old Dow Jones Company and the Wall Street Journal has no ownership in it at all.
So there was another set of numbers that was reported on with almost as breathless an anticipation as the Dow's numbers not all that long ago, and that's the NASDAQ. Where is the NASDAQ these days?
The NASDAQ, you've heard of that. Well, the NASDAQ used to be the great high-rolling index in the late 90s, and it's still out there, and it keeps setting records all the time, finally, but nobody seems to care. Back when in the days of the tech boom or the tech bubble or whatever you want to call it, it was watched very, very closely because it was symbolic of the what was going on with tech stocks, which boomed. And if you remember, in depending on how you count, sometime in the early 2000s, the thing cratered and the NASDAQ fell apart. And finally, yeah, after a billion years, it got back and started setting new highs. Also, a bunch of the NASDAQ companies have since been added to the Dow. Microsoft was a NASDAQ company. It was added to the Dow. And the difference between the Dow and the NASDAQ started to evaporate. The NASDAQ ceased to be interesting because it wasn't exciting anymore. And again, there are obviously people who care about the NASDAQ, but I'm not one of them, and somehow I suspect you might be one of them also, but I would never want you to admit that in public.
Well, you've made this all come alive in a way that I think has done the trick for us. Alan Sloan, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you for letting me on your station, Mitch. Take care now.
Alan Sloan is an award-winning financial columnist for The Washington Post. He's the editor-at-large for ProPublica and a contributor to the Marketplace Morning Report. There is a link to his column about the Dow hitting 20,000 from WUWM.com. Each time I find myself flat on my face, I pick myself.